Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 17. I hope to deal with verses 1 through 18. And this message is primarily for our radio congregation. I will present it to our people here, but it is initially, right now, primarily for our radio congregation. I've entitled it, The Hour Has Come. And it's taken from John chapter 17, verses 1 through 18. That hour, predetermined from eternity past, has arrived in the life of Jesus. That hour that was predetermined before the creation of man, that was put in motion. This plan was put in motion in eternity past, before the creation of anything that was created. This plan was put in motion. The moment in time when God in the flesh would become man has arrived. In eternity past, when there was only God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, in council amongst themselves, before anything that would be created was created, the plan for the creation of man, understanding the fall of man, and knowing what would have to be done to redeem man from his fall, was planned and was being put into operation before the creation of anything that was created. This plan was in place between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And then that moment in time came when God in the flesh would become man, when he would set in motion the plan whereby sinful man could be reconciled to Holy God. Having created a perfect universe, and having created man in perfection, having created man sinless, but knowing from eternity past that that time would come when man would sin, and knowing that when man sinned, man would, as a result of that sin, inherit a sin nature. And then the sin nature would be transferred to any and all born after the creation of Adam and Eve, after the sin of Adam and Eve, the sin nature infected all of humanity. That plan also included the fact when he, God would become God in the flesh, and he would set in motion that plan whereby sinful man once again could be reconciled to Holy God. When God in the flesh would become Jesus of Nazareth, born of a virgin in Nazareth, the Son of God, God in the flesh, who in his ministry had performed miracle after miracle after miracle. In his ministry, God in the flesh, the Messiah, the Son of God, Jesus of Nazareth, in his ministry, had left no doubt in anybody's mind who was willing to believe, willing to receive, that he had to be God in the flesh as a result of the miracles that he performed. In his ministry, he performed miracle after miracle after miracle. Now the time has come. He has completed that for which he came to earth. He has completed that for which one day he stood up in heaven, took off his royal robes, laid them aside, if you will, on his throne, and came to earth to be born of a virgin, to be born of Mary, to take on humanity, so that he could identify with humanity, He could reveal himself to be God in the flesh through the miraculous things that he did. He could choose some to carry on the work when he returned back to glory. We call them disciples, the apostles, the disciples. But now that time has come. He had done all that was planned. He stood up off his throne once again, that day in heaven, pulled off his royal robes, laid them to one side, came to earth to be born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, performed miracle after miracle after miracle, leaving no doubt in anybody's mind who was willing to believe, who was willing to receive, that he was God in the flesh. He was the Messiah. And as the Messiah, he was God's sinless, willing, perfect blood sacrifice for the sins of all who would believe. As I said, he had completed that for which he came to earth. He had appointed, anointed, trained, and taught 12 disciples. He had chosen 12 men. He trained them. He anointed them. He taught them to be disciples. One of those 12 turned out to be a traitor. You know, I look at Judas Iscariot, and I say, how could you have done what you did? Having been chosen by the Messiah to be his disciple, having been enabled and empowered by the Messiah with the anointing to do miraculous, miraculous works, how could you, having seen everything the Messiah did, having heard everything that he taught, Judas, how could you have turned your back for 30 pieces of silver? Why? Why, Judas? And I have no doubt that at Judas, as he is in hell today, ask himself those same questions. How could I ever have done what I did? Judas, the traitor. But now that time has come in the life of Jesus on earth when he must go to the cross. He must go to the cross and be crucified like a common criminal. But understand, now slow down and listen to me. So much of the religious community in the world does not understand the truths that I'm going to share with you once again, that I have shared so many times in the past and will continue to share in the future. You must understand that Jesus, God in the flesh, was God's perfect, sinless, and willing blood sacrifice for all who would believe, and he became that, knowing that a great, great majority of the world's population would not believe, would not receive. And because they would not believe, and because they would not receive, they would die in their sins and go to hell, a place never really created for man, but rather for Satan. Satan, the fallen angel, and all the angels who fell with him, who we now recognize as demons. But you must understand, you've got to understand, man was created sinless. Man violated the word of God, disobeyed God. And in that moment, man became a sinner. He developed a sin nature. All of humanity, as best I can understand it, all of the angelic force, was created sinless but with free will. Sinless but with free will. And from everything I could understand from the scriptures, Lucifer kept looking at the power of God and the throne of God, and the worship and the praise that God received from the angelic force, and was envious and jealous and wanted that praise, wanted that worship, and purposed in his heart to try to overthrow God, not understanding that he himself was a created being. Yes, he had free will. He was a created being. And he, along with about a third of the angels in heaven, as best we can understand it, conspired to try to overthrow Jehovah God, take over his position, and rule the universe. And of course, they lost. They lost the battle. And they were cast out of heaven. They were cast down. And some in hell even today, awaiting the finalization of all of God's plan. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. Almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. I want you to understand as thoroughly and as clearly and as perfectly as I, in my limited ability, can explain it to you that all of mankind since Adam and Eve came out of the womb with a sin nature, a child of the devil, destined for hell unless God intervened and provided a means by which they could be protected from hell. And he did that in the Messiah when Jesus, God in the flesh, became human and took upon himself humanity and the form of a human so that he could demonstrate what man should be and then eventually go to the cross and become the one single sacrifice that God would accept for sinful man to be reconciled to himself, holy God. Without a sinless, willing blood sacrifice, sins could not be forgiven. Without a sinless, willing blood sacrifice, sin cannot be forgiven. And Jesus Christ was and is that sinless, willing blood sacrifice. Please do not misunderstand the reality of what I'm saying to you. So many are putting so much faith and confidence and belief in some person in the past who died, and they are identifying with that person who died and assuming that perhaps that person can help them become one of God's own. It can only be done in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. It cannot be done through the Virgin Mary. It cannot be done through the Apostle Peter. It cannot be done through anyone other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus and Christ Jesus alone is the only name given under heaven whereby men may be saved. The gospel has been misrepresented and is being misrepresented. Christ Jesus was that sinless, willing blood sacrifice that God required. Jesus, the sinless, willing blood sacrifice for all who would believe and receive him as Lord and Savior. He cannot be earned. Let me make this very, very clear to you. Salvation cannot be earned. You cannot do enough religious things. You cannot do enough good things to earn salvation. Salvation is a free gift from God. A free gift from God to all who are willing to acknowledge themselves as sinners. Not only acknowledge themselves as sinners, but acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, as the Messiah, as the only name given under heaven whereby men may be saved. And someone is saying, Bob, you pushed this so hard. And in recent months, you have pushed this so hard. Please understand something. God has turned all of his work over to the church. Hear me, people of God. Hear me, and hear me well. God, and I'll say this again before this message is over, God has turned all of his work over to the church. The church, not a religious organization. The church, the blood-bought, blood-washed body of Christ, is the representation of the kingdom of God on earth today. We are the believer priest. Those of us who have been born again, believer priest, adopted into the family of God, ambassadors for Christ, soldiers of the cross. We, those of us who've born again, we are the family of God. We are the body of Christ on earth today. He has anointed us. He has gifted us to do the work of the ministry to advance the kingdom of God on earth today. In engineering false systems of religion, Satan tried to deceive and hold captive multitudes seeking release, and he has done so. Hear me and hear me well. Every expression of religion outside of being born again, every expression of religious life short of being born again and adopted into the family of God is a satanic organization. Let me say that very, very clearly. Every expression of religion on the face of the earth that is separate and apart from one being born again, adopted into the family of God, becoming a soldier of the cross, an ambassador for Christ, a believer priest. Those of us who have been born again, we are believer priests in the kingdom of God, in the family of God, and as such, we're to represent the kingdom of God on earth today. And Satan has raised up counterfeit expressions of religion in the nations of the world, trying his best to somehow confuse the system, confuse the whole thing, so that he can take hundreds of thousands of religious people into hell with him. That is his goal. That is the desire. To confuse, to deceive multitudes into false systems of religion, so that when they die, they will join him and in eternity in hell. Satan, seeking to deceive and hold captive multitudes. And then we have those seeking to deceive and hold captive systems of false religion. Do you realize that in this world today, Satan has introduced false systems of religion whereby he has deceived millions who are doomed to an eternity in hell when they die without Christ? And that system of religion will be identified depending on their nationality and geographical location. We have different systems of religion located in different expressions of humanity in the world. So it depends on the nationality and the geographic location as to what specific type of false system of religion has been offered there. You see, Satan tailors the system of religion that he is offering to suit the culture. Listen to me carefully. Satan tailors the system of religion that he is offering to suit the culture of the nation that he is working in. How many today are religious? Listen to me. How many today are religious, involved in religious practice, involved in religious activities, and one heartbeat from hell? With the last heartbeat, would find themselves in hell. I'm talking about people up to their eyebrows in religious systems, in systems of religion, trying to live up to all the requirements and standards of that system of religion, and yet one heartbeat from hell because they have never been to Christ and fell on their knees or fell on their face and say, Jesus Christ, I'm a sinner. Oh, Father God, have mercy on me. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I'm a sinner. I'm confessing I'm a sinner. Save my soul from hell, Jesus. How many? How many? How many are one heartbeat from hell? As was Nicodemus. Nicodemus and others among the Pharisees. The Pharisees were a major religious organization in the days of Christ. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, they were major religious organizations. And yet, its membership, one heartbeat from hell, even the leadership in those religious organizations, one heartbeat from hell. Jesus spoke to that. Jesus spoke to that in his day in addressing much of the religious leadership of the nation. Now listen, this is Jesus speaking of the religious leadership in the nation in his day. In John chapter 8, verse 44, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. It was the religious leadership, slow down and listen to me. It was the religious leadership that conspired to have Christ crucified. It was the religious leadership in that day that conspired to have Christ crucified. He had finished his last meal with his disciples. We're picking it up now where I want to go in today's scriptures. He has finished his last meal with his disciples. He rose from the table. He washed and dried the feet of the 11 that were left at the table. And now he enters into prayer for them. Now, folks, the next few verses are the prayer that he prayed for them. I will be interrupting his prayer from time to time to make a comment about his prayer. But track with me closely now. Listen, people of God, and some of you who are not the people of God, you like to fancy yourself as being a person of God, but you're just part of a religious system. You're just part of a religious system. I've got people listening to this who have not been adopted into the family of God, and yet really religious. Part of a religious system, but never born again. Never adopted into the family of God. Oh, Satan is so slick. Satan is so slick. Satan introduces so many false systems of religious life, and so many are deceived. We come now to John 17:1. Jesus, speaking these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you. That hour that had been determined from eternity past, even before creation, the plan of salvation was on the drawing board between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, even before creation. And so Christ prays, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. Jesus, the source of eternal life for all who would believe and for all who would receive him as Lord and Savior. There are so many who would be messiahs from different false systems of religion. We've had them for ages. In centuries gone by, in this present day, we still have those who would be messiahs from different false systems of religion. They have now gone on to their eternal destiny. And those who are posing today to be a messiah, they will go to their eternal destiny, separated from God and in hell. Children of the devil. So they'll go to the devil's home, which is hell. So we have those in the past who have gone on to their eternal destiny. They tried to convinced people they were the Messiah, they were not the Messiah, and they died and went to hell. And we've had those in recent years trying to convince us that they are the Messiah. Some of them are still alive. But if they stay where they are, they will die and go to hell as well. Who among the religious leaders of the world would claim to be the Messiah? We've had those among religious leaders in the different nations of the world who said, I'm the Messiah. I am the Messiah. Lying through their teeth, trying to convince, trying to deceive. And these who declare themselves to be a Messiah have themselves died. Let me ask you this. How many of these who declare themselves to be the Messiah have died and been resurrected from the dead? I'll tell you, none. Not a one. None of those who told us they were the Messiah, none who tried to present themselves to as being the Messiah, have arisen from the dead once they died. So you ask, well, Bob, how many have died and been resurrected from the dead? Let me answer it for you. None. Absolutely none. I hope those of you who are putting your hope and your trust in a false Messiah are listening to what I'm saying to you. None. Only Christ. Only Jesus. Messiah, Son of God, was resurrected from the dead. Now Jesus continues his discussion with the Father in glory in his prayer in John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Jesus says this is eternal life. Coexistence with God for eternity. That is eternal life. Coexistent with God for eternity in the new heavens and the new earth, because there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. Jesus continues in John 17:4. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. It's over. It's finished. He's done it. He's done everything God the Father sent him to earth to do. Once again, John 17:4. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. In obedience. That's how he finished the work. Complete, total, thorough submission and obedience to the will of God. Obedience to the will of God. He says, I have finished the work which you have given me to do. My representation, he's saying, of you to mankind has been accomplished. I have represented you to mankind. It's done. I finished it. And he's saying now, I lack only now the cross, the instrument of my death. I know that I'm facing the cross. As he prayed this, he knew he was hours from the cross. He knew that on that cross, like a common criminal, he would be nailed to pieces of wood, that his hands and his feet would be nailed to pieces of wood. And he knew that on that cross, in those dark, dark hours that he hung on that cross, in his mental pain, his emotional pain, his spiritual pain, he knew that on that cross, as the perfect, sinless, willing blood sacrifice of God the Father for sinful man, and the only acceptable sacrifice to God the Father, you must understand, Jesus Christ is the only acceptable sacrifice to God. Only Christ. God will accept no other sacrifice. Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And Jesus on that cross is taking upon himself the sins. Oh, hear me. He's taken upon himself the sins of everyone who would believe, regardless of their race, their tribe, their tongue, their nation, or the depth or the depravity of their sin. Did you hear me? He has taken upon himself the sins of all who would believe and receive him as Lord and Savior, regardless of what they had been, regardless of what they had done, regardless of what they had said, regardless of what they were, regardless of what they were. He took upon himself every single sin of everyone who would believe and receive. He knew, sitting at the table, talking to his disciples, he knew, I'm going to the cross. And on that cross, I'm going to become everything that God hates. I'm going to become a sodomite. I'm going to become the whorehopper. I'm going to become the whore, the liar, the thief, the murderer, the profane. I am going to become everything that God hates, so that those who believe and receive me as Lord and Savior become that which God loves. By coming to me, confessing they're a sinner, rolling their sins over on me, putting their sins to death in me, they then can become objects of the love of God. Objects of the love of God. He knows that once it is finished on that cross, when he said, it is finished, it was finished. I have said this how many times over the years. He had done everything necessary for a sinful man to be reconciled to holy God, because he took upon himself the sins of all sinful men who would believe and receive him as Lord and Savior. He knows he's going to die on that cross. He knows he's going to be placed in a borrowed tomb. But he also knows resurrection is coming. He knows resurrection from the dead is coming. Hearts, try to picture this, if you would. In the hours he was on that cross, try to picture, if you can, the host of heaven in those hours. Picture the angels sobbing, walking the streets of glory. Picture God the Father in those hours. Put him, if you can, in human form for a moment, suffering the loss of his son, grieving over the loss of his son, over what his son had become, because God had to put on his son the sins of all who would believe and all who would receive. But in those hours, when he took upon himself the sins of all who would believe and receive, God the Father could bring no consolation to the son. God the Father could not look upon the Son. God the Father could not listen to the cry of the Son on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? God the Father could not listen. And in my own mind, I can't prove this scripturally, but in my mind, in my imagination, as I ponder this thing, I try to put God in a human form, walking the golden streets of glory, shaking his head, shaking his hand, shaking his arms, and weeping because his son is hanging on the cross, crying out to him, and he cannot respond to his son. And I can see angels surrounding God the Father as he walks the streets of glory, weeping over his son, weeping themselves, and some of the warrior angels saying, turn us loose. Turn us loose, O Father God, eternal God, turn us loose, and we will go down there and wipe out that entire nation. We'll wipe out every one of those people who are crucifying your son, the Savior. And Christ saying no. God the Father saying no. It's got to be done. His is the only blood that will cleanse. His is the only blood that will cleanse. He is the only one in all of time and eternity that I'll accept for the sins of those who confess and believe and receive, sacrificing the Son on a Roman cross for sinful creatures like me. Stop and think about what I'm saying. God in the flesh, in his Son Jesus, going to the cross so that he could take upon himself the sins of all who would believe and receive. My sins alone were enough to put him in hell forever. But my sins, your sins, sinful man, the sins of all who would believe and receive being placed on Jesus. I put Jesus Christ on the cross. God could say to you, God could say to me, I put Jesus on the cross for all who would believe and receive him as Lord and Savior. Will you believe? Will you receive? It's not enough to be religious. It's not enough to be a part of a religious organization and be involved in religious activity. No, you got to become a new creation. You got to be born again. You've got to become a child of God, a servant of the Most High God, a believer priest. That is the ticket, my friend. That has to be done. Who among us can even imagine, even start to imagine, the stark reality of all that's happening on that cross? He continues to pray. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I say again, who among us can even start to imagine or understand that spiritual reality? God the Father, Christ the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the heavenly host of heaven in a sinless universe. Who can picture such a thing? Those of us who've been born again, ruling and reigning in a sinless universe with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Oh, soul, hear what the Word of God is saying. He continues in his prayer in John 17:6, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. He says, I have revealed you to those that you have given me out of the world. Has he revealed God to you? How well do you understand the Trinity? How well do you understand Jesus? You see, God has never been surprised by anyone or anything or anyone that they said or did. Did you hear me? God has never been surprised by anyone or by anything that we said or did. And he went to the cross, understanding that we would say, we would do, we would be, and took upon himself all we would say, all we would be, all we would do to himself, to put that to death in himself. God knew before the foundation of the world. Hear me clearly. Hear me clearly. God knew before the foundation of the world those in all of humanity who would believe. Did you hear me? God knew from eternity past, before the creation of the world, before the creation of mankind. Folks, this is a mind-boggling spiritual truth. God knew before the creation of the world. God knew before the creation of man. Out of all of mankind, he knew who would believe and receive, and he knew who would not believe and receive. And he purposed to provide a means by which those who would believe and would receive could be received by himself, adopted as his children. In all of humanity, he knew. He knew who the whosoevers were. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, the Word of God says. Whosoever. He knew who all the whosoevers were. Romans 10:13, Word of God again. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Regardless. Whosoever, regardless of where they've been, what they did, what they said. Regardless of who they were, what they said, what they did, where they've been. Regardless, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, I sit and watch Major League Baseball players go to bat. And I see men make the sign of the cross on the way to the plate. And I ask myself, do they have the foggiest idea about their plan of salvation? We are surrounded by multitudes who cross themselves when they're going to do this, going to do that, going to be a part of this, be a part of that, who do not have the foggiest idea what the cross is really all about. That on that cross, Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, became the one sacrifice that God would accept for sinful man. And it's not a bigger part of a religious organization to get you into glory. No, it's being born again. It's admitting you're a sinner and in simple childlike faith saying, oh, Jesus Christ, I'm a sinner. Please, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. That's what the cross is all about. It's more than some kind of symbol when you go into the plate to bat. It's more than some kind of symbol as a religious gesture. It's more than a religious symbol when you're facing something you're not sure of, you're not certain of. No, the cross, the altar on which the Son of God, the Messiah, was offered by God the Father for sinners like you and sinners like me. John 17:7. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. They have believed that I am sent from you. Now we have to know this. Their knowledge was incomplete, as was their faith. Yes, they have walked with Jesus, listened to Jesus, and to the level they were at that time, had believed and received, but their knowledge was incomplete. And their faith was yet incomplete. But Pentecost is coming. Pentecost is coming. But at this point in time, they still didn't have a full, complete understanding of all he was, who he was, and what they were being called to be a part of. But they believed this. They believed that Jesus was sent from God. They believed that. They believed that he was sent from God. They just didn't have the fullness of the understanding of all that was involved in his being sent from God. That will come at Pentecost. That will come at Pentecost. John 17:8. Jesus continues praying, for I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I've taught them that which you gave me to teach them, Jesus said. I have taught them that which you gave me to teach them, and they have received that which I taught them. They truly believe that I am sent from you, Father. They truly believe that. They just didn't have perfect understanding yet. They didn't have full, complete understanding yet. Jesus goes on. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world. Did you get that? I pray for them. But I do not pray for the world. But, listen to me carefully. Listen to me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world. But, for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. Listen to what Jesus is praying in his hours before the cross. Jesus, Son of God, God in the flesh, praying to God the Father. He says, I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me out of the world. That includes me. Does that include you? You see, I've been given to Jesus. I was in the world. But the Father has given me to Jesus. If you've been born again, you have been given by the Father to Jesus. I didn't say if you're a member of a religious organization. I said if you have been given from God the Father to Christ the Son, you're a gift from God the Father to Christ the Son. Are you included in those that he has given Jesus out of the world? Jesus said, I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me out of the world. Are you included in that group? Are you ready for the last heartbeat? Are you ready for the last heartbeat? And if you say yes, what is the proof? If you say yes, I understand that. Yes, I'm born again. Yes, I'm ready for the last heartbeat. What's the proof? What is the proof in your life that you're ready to meet God? What is the proof in your life? John 17:10. Jesus goes on in his prayer. And all mine are thine, all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in you. You see, there's a joint ownership of those of us who have been purchased by the blood of Christ. Say joint ownership. All who have been born again, hear me carefully, all who have been born again have been adopted by God the Father. All who have been born again are members of the body of Christ on earth today, but that membership carries responsibility. Listen to me. That carries responsibility. All of us who've been given by God the Father to Christ the Son, all who've been born again have been adopted by God the Father, and all who've been born again are members of the body of Christ on earth today. But understand this, that carries responsibility. We have access. You see, those of us who've been born again, those of us who are members of the body of Christ earth today, those of us who are members of the body of Christ on earth today, we have access to the Lord God Himself in and through Jesus Christ. Listen to me. We have access to the Lord God Himself in and through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ alone, not through Mary, not through Peter, not through any apostle, in and through our identification with Jesus Christ. Mary herself, the mother of Jesus, is in her tomb awaiting the resurrection. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is in her place of burial awaiting the resurrection. John 17:11. Now I am no longer with the world, but these are the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. He says, now I am no longer in the world. I'm leaving earth, Father. I'm returning to glory. I'm returning to heaven. But these are the world. I am leaving the work of advancing the kingdom of God on earth with my disciples. Now I'm no longer in the world. And these are in the world. He is saying, I am leaving earth and returning to glory, to heaven. And I'm leaving the work of advancing the kingdom of God on earth with my disciples. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me. Protect and provide those you have given to me. That they may be one as we are. That there may be unity and harmony among them. Now watch Satan enter in. Satan has entered into the system of religions in the nations of the world. Satan has even invaded the body of Christ and brought division and strife. Satan himself has sown seeds of division and strife even in the body of Christ itself. John 17:12. Jesus prays, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you have given me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. In other words, he's saying, I kept them safe and secure from all satanic opposition and adversity. Those whom you given me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. In Psalms 41:9, even my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. That was a prophetic word in the psalm identifying Judas. Even my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. Son of perdition, one doomed for destruction, Judas Iscariot. He was the son of perdition. Heard everything Jesus taught. Was chosen, anointed, and gifted. Given the same opportunity as the other 11. He heard everything Jesus taught. Everything. Chosen, anointed, gifted. And yet, blew it all for 30 pieces of silver. Blew it all for 30 pieces of silver. How often, I wonder, has he relived that decision in his place in hell? I wonder how long, how many times, how often he has revisited that decision. Jesus is saying to the Father, I'm coming back to glory. I am praying as I am praying as I want them to share my joy. You know what Jesus is saying in today's language? Mission accomplished. Mission accomplished. I've done everything you sent me to earth to do. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they're not of the world. just as I'm not of the world. Understand this, people of God. We're in the world, but not part of the world. That day is yet future, when the hatred of which he speaks will be thoroughly made manifest in the world. He is speaking about hatred now. And that day is yet future, when that hatred of which he speaks will be thoroughly made manifest. Hear me as we start wrapping this up. Every generation of believers are to restrain that day's appearance. Every generation of believers is to restrain that day in our lifetime from coming in our lifetime, and hopefully from the lifetime of our children. But every generation of believers has to restrain it. Once again, God has turned all of his work over to the church. No, not to some religious organization, but to the church. God has turned all of his work over to the church. That's you, that's me, those of us who've been born again. The church, not the religious organizations. But in future time, they will find themselves under the rule, hear me carefully, in the future, those false systems of religion that are on the earth today and will be on the earth at that time will find themselves under the rule and reign of the Antichrist in his one world system of religion. It's coming, folks. The one world system of religion is coming, and it is our duty as the people of God, ambassadors for Christ, soldiers of the cross, to hold it back in our lifetime. John 17:5, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. He says, leave them here, but protect them from Satan. Leave them here, but protect them. The nations of the world need them as salt and light. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Neither I nor them, Jesus is saying, is part of this world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Make them more and more increasingly like yourself, Father. That's what he's saying. Make the believers each day, each one, more and more increasingly like yourself, conforming them to likeness with yourself. Then he says in John 17:18, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. You sent me into a God-hating, satanic, infected world to represent you. I am sending them into the same God-hating, satanic, infested world to represent you. Now let me ask you this. Do you understand the steps in doing that? Do you understand how to fulfill your responsibility, your obligation, your role, your purpose for being here as a child of God, as one been born again and left in this nasty, sin-cursed, sin-darkened world at this time? Do you understand how you're to represent him, what you're to be and what you're to do? Number one, you got to be born again. You can't. You must be born again. If you're not born again, you can't represent Christ. If you're not born again, you can't advance the kingdom of God. And then as one born again, you must be submitted and surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Hear me and hear me carefully. As one born again, you must be submitted and surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life 24/7, 365. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. You've got to be submitted and surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you what's going to happen. When you are submitted and surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, inasmuch as you are already indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, if you have been born again, you're indwelt by the creative power of the universe. If you've been born again, you're indwelt, and he is willing to enable you and empower you to be for him and all for him he's asked you to be. He's told you to be. The Holy Spirit of God, the indwelling Spirit of God, will enable you and empower you to be everything God has called you to be. May God grant to us the willingness and the desire to be so used. My Lord and my God, there's the message that you gave it to me. Now I've given it to them, and I submit it to you, Heavenly Father. I'm asking you to take it, use it, implant it in their hearts, use it in their lives, use it to advance the kingdom of God, do damage to the kingdom of darkness, and be ever so blessed in who we are and all we are. And this I ask in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Well, thanks for joining us again today here on Challenge. And once again, till we get a chance to do this again, be ever so blessed. Be ever so blessed.